Nachum Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ninveh is being sacked. It is being taken by the enemy without mercy. Buka umavuka umavulaka. There you've got some nice alliteration. Emptied, yes. Emptied out. Breached umavulaka. Where they've been split apart. Empty and void and split asunder. There's nothing left. By the emptiers, the Babylonians, who are pretty merciless. Velev names ufik birkayim. The heart melts, the knees stumble. Bechalchala bechol mosnayim. There's a trembling in all of the loins, in the core of the body. Your knees are knocking together. It's a similar phrase in Sefer Daniel, mini mini tekalu farsin, that when Belshazzar sees the invisible hand writing on the wall, his knees knock together. So everything is falling to pieces, including physically. Ufnei chulam kibtzu farur. And the faces of all of them have blackened, become like the bottom of a pot. In grief, in shame, everything is a mess. We've seen this before in Sefer Yoel. We see it in Eicha. So Reb Mendel Hirsch, beautiful phrase about the next pasuk. Ninveh was a cozy, comfortable home for the ruling class and its circles. Justice was of no account, only ruthless, brutal force. There is no term more applicable than, in the next pasuk, a homestead for lions. Only a lion, lioness, or their cubs could walk around the Ninveh undisturbed and unthreatened. Whoever did not belong to the small upper ruling class, and is this not true of so-called Palestine, of Gaza, of all of the Middle East? If you don't belong to that tiny ruling class, which was compared to a mutually protected and interwoven fence of thorns earlier, has no rights or protection and subject to its very arbitrary high-handed treatment. This is the Middle East today. So it's nice that the current Middle Easterners have taken to heart the example of Ashur to rule with that kind of uncaring for the masses and only for themselves. Aye ma'on arayos. Where is the lion's den that Ninveh used to be? The dwellings of kings, warriors fierce as lions who preyed on the world. Umirehu lakifirin. And it is pasture for the young lions. So they would leave their children there behind. When they went out to war or wherever they went, they never had to worry. Everybody at home was secured. There was no security problem. Asher holach aryeh lovi. Sham gur aryeh ve'ein macharid. Here's that phrase, gur aryeh, that we use. It's a sefer, it's yeshiva. Where the grown lion and the old lion went, and the whelp, the youngest of the lions, the pups, none made them afraid. And so you see the different ages of lions all in this pasuk. The aryeh, the kefir, the lavi, gur aryeh. So you see the different phrases for the different stages of life of the lion. And this is the Assyrian lion, which is soon just going to be statues in a museum. Yudgimel aryeh toref b'day gorosav. The grown lion tore up enough prey for its gur, for its whelps, for its offspring. Umechanek lelivosav, and strangled for his lioness. So the wife and kids never had to worry about having food on the table because the grown lion went out and tore up whatever he wanted to and brought it home for them. Vayimale teref chorav. He filled his caves with prey. Umaonosav terefa. And his dens with carcasses. So the meat locker was always full when the lion went out shopping to pomegranate. He would come back with the best Wagyu steak that he could afford, because he could afford it, because he was from the few, from the proud. But now, Yodalid, last pasuk in this particular parak, 14 pasukim seems to be the sweet spot for a number of different parakim in Treyasar. Hinani elayichnu Hashem tzvakos. Hashem says, I'm against you. You had it nice and easy. You had it pretty good. But now you're up against me. Vivarti ve'oshan richba. I will ignite her chariots with smoke. I'm going to light them up. Uchfirayich tochal chorev. And the sword will consume your young lions. When the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, they also attacked the Philippines on the way back. And at the Philippines, they had hours of warning that the Japanese Navy and Air Force were coming, but they didn't get themselves ready in time. It was under the command of Douglas MacArthur, and this was the biggest mistake he ever made as a commander. And so hundreds of planes were parked on the ground when the Japanese Air Force returned from bombing Pearl Harbor, and then they bombed the Philippines and blew up 1,000 planes that were just sitting there parked. Nobody was in the air. Nobody was ready. People forget that on December 8th was almost as big a disaster for the United States in the Pacific as December 7th. So everybody's at home, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to blow everything up. Uchfirayich tochal cherev. Your young lions are going to be consumed by the sword. Lions never worry too much about the sword, but they don't have the greatest defense in the world against it. They have sharp teeth. They're good, but the young are not ready to defend themselves. Vichratime eretz tarpech. I will cut off your prey from the land, your terefa, that a minute ago you were bragging you have in all of your caves and dens. There's going to be nothing to eat. Lo yishama od kol malachecha. And that's a very interesting word. The voice of your ambassadors, the voice of your messengers, of your emissaries, will no longer be heard. And Reb Mendel Hirsch has a beautiful summary of this. The God of loving kindness and injustice proclaims the downfall of this house where organized arbitrary despotism rules. I will come against you and bring about your downfall. You won't plunder. Nations won't tremble before your messengers, your ambassadors. The unusual, harsh-sounding, and unfortunately untranslatable malachecha, we assume malachim means messengers, designates phonetically and strikingly the impertinent, arrogant demeanor of these Assyrian emissaries and commissioners. The boastful in Yeshaya, are not my notable men all kings, says Rav Shakeh in Yeshaya. So you brag about how everybody's a king, every man a king, not for long.